Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with another one of our season 40 winner retrospectives. And today we are joined by Albert Destrade from Survivor South Pacific, who's going to be talking all about Sophie Clark. Albert, you're an interesting one here because you are one of just two people who actually sat in a final three against the winner of the season. So we've only had two people pull that off. You're one of them. So we'll be able to hear like where you think Sophie excelled, maybe where you like struggled or didn't see Sophie playing the game. But I'm really excited to hear what you're going to say about Sophie. We're really excited to have you. Sophie played a really quiet game that a lot of people don't talk about. So it's going to be interesting to see her on the season. But thanks for joining us.
Guys, glad to be here. Glad to be here. Excited to talk about some Survivor with you guys.
Yeah, this is going to be exciting. And, you know, Sophie Clark, season 23, I would say she's probably the most underrated or under the radar player who's coming into this season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Sophie's somebody who at first seems unassuming, but is a very sharp, very bright person and player in Survivor. She's somebody that in my game, in my personal experience, her and I kind of align pretty quickly. We're very kind of like-minded in how we kind of analyze things and are kind of studious. And I think people really underestimate her a lot. She's a better athlete than people know. She's a better challenge player than people think. She's somebody who, it was kind of weird on my season, not a lot of people considered her as a big threat towards the end. I feel like I was one of the only people vocalizing that. Mm-hmm. Just because I felt like at the end of a game, somebody like her can give a very compelling speech to a jury and kind of say her case. And she did a great job. I tip my cap to her. She played well. She executed a plan. And she's a tougher competitor than people give her credit for.
This is, yeah. And you sat with Coach. He was the third member of your final three. And I think he was one of the people who was really shocked to see how well Sophie played the game and how well she was able to convey her experience. 23, something like that. She was young at the time. Yeah. So she's a little bit older now. 22. Yeah. So I think a lot of people are underestimating her back then. I wonder if people still underestimate her on this season, considering a lot of the female winners are under the radar winners. But yeah, I think Sophie's coming in with probably the smallest target out of all 20 people. I think Sophie's got the smallest target for sure.
Listen, Phil, as somebody who's played the game, I never won the game, but I kind of imagine that if you win the game, you probably create a little bit of a elevated sense of ego, right? Of self, like I'm such a great player, right? So I feel like if I was in her shoes, I feel like I would kind of play off everyone else's own, like, man, we're so great and grandiose, and try to do that and accomplish flying under the radar, which I think is a really effective strategy in Survivor. As long as you're, you know, in the day in, day out routine of the game, as long as you're contributing around camp, you're, you know, doing work, getting firewood, not being lazy, not being like kind of like somebody who's, you know, a burden on camp life. Mm-hmm. If you can do that, make people feel comfortable. I think like being not that big of a personality or that big of a threat, I think is really good actually in this kind of season, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think this season, a lot of the winners who won playing under the radar, now they want to prove themselves and come out like super hot. So if she can stay kind of quiet, I think that'd be really good.
Right. If you look at a season like Game Changers, for instance, you had all these giant personalities with, like, you could say egos potentially, right? And at the end of the day, like Sarah Lucina, who won, was not somebody you really expect. And I think she kind of fits like a Sophie mode in a way. Even though they're kind of different people, I think I can see them playing similar games.
Yeah, and I think another person like that, Amber, who wins All-Stars way back in 8, who's going to be on this season, she's another one. Like, nobody was looking at Amber as a threat when she came out the second time to play. Heroes, Villains, even though Sandra had won, she was probably the least assuming winner. So nobody was really going, oh, we got to get rid of Sandra right now. It was just not the way people thought about it. So there's Danny Boatwright, you have Michelle Fitzgerald, you have even Denise, who's kind of under the radar because people forget how well she played in 25. Yeah. And then you have Sophie. And so you mentioned egos. If you win, you get a little bit of an inflated ego. How is Sophie's ego?
Let's put it kindly, Sophie's a confident person, right? Mm-hmm. I think she can be a little, have sometimes, I think one of her flaws from a social standpoint was she has sometimes a little bit of a slight air of like, she knows she's smart. She knows she's not a very, put it this way, for somebody who's under the radar, she's not a insecure player. She's not somebody who lacks in confidence. So I don't know if she's going to apply ego in this. I don't know if she's coming in this thinking like, I'm a boss, considering you're playing amongst a bunch of bosses, really. Yeah. I don't know if that particularly in this instance is going to affect her. I'd be curious to see how it works.
Yeah, I'm curious who's going to get those. In like, who's going to be the underrated player who's going to take too much control? Like Ciara Don Thomas back in Game Changers, she was coming in with such a chip on her shoulder, right. And she wanted to prove that she belonged. And right. I wonder which
Ciara Don Anglin, by the way, remember?
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right.
Now important distinction. I think it's going to be Michelle Fitzgerald because I think she's going to want to come out swinging just because people were so against her win.
Right. I'm a fan of Michelle Fitzgerald. I thought she played great. I loved her season. Yeah, I could see her. I think she's has a little bit of that zest to it. And I do think she has a chip on her shoulder. I'm curious to see. I think a lot of it's going to depend, guys, on how the tribes are distributed. Like, I think if you know, so much in Survivor is really the draw of your initial tribe, your swamp tribe, how those dynamics work together and who knows how to play the different roles. Like, so if you have a tribe that's really vocal, you kind of got to let the vocal person do the work, right? If you have to take the lead, you got to take the lead. So I'm curious to see how players like Sophie or Michelle are going to adapt to that role. Because if you try to, my opinion is, if you try to prove yourself too much and try to take too much control too early, it could rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
And based on who she's starting with, she is with two very vocal people in Tyson and Sandra. Tony and Sandra. She is with Tyson as well, but she's with Tony and Sandra to start, I think there's plenty to hide behind right there, right?
Oh, yeah. I can see Tony taking a step back, though, after he came out. I mean, he won a season and played, you know, arguably one of the most memorable seasons as Kageyama. Came out in Game Changers. Came out probably a little too fast out of the gate and was out early. I wouldn't be surprised if Tony kind of shifted down a little bit. That's what I would do if I was him. Now, I don't know. I'm not him, and I know that we're very different humans. But Tony, God bless that guy. He's like a very high energy pedal to the metal guy. But if I was Tony, I would take my foot off the pedal a little bit. I'm curious to see what his adjustment is the third time playing. Oftentimes guys do that. I mean, I played with a coach who his third time played a very different game than Tokenshin's or Heroes and Villains. Played a very calm, very I think a better game than he played the other times. And I think it really helped him out. So I'm curious to see that third time. I think is a really big position or a pretty big opportunity to improve on your previous mistakes, in my opinion. Yeah.
Well, so that's a fun question to ask because we haven't been able to ask anybody this type of question, but because you played with Coach and we saw the real development, I mean, Tokenshin's Coach is probably the most iconic character in Survivor history. It is over the top. His boot episode where he's starving and he's passing out and all that, eagle flying over the sand dune. It's iconic.
Yeah.
Heroes versus Villains. His ego takes a real shot, you know, and he's humbled. And then 23, he plays a completely different game. We see a much calmer game. We see somebody who's out there to really win, make relationships, and want to change the perception of himself. Who do you think has the best chance on this season? If you need us to like run through who's on the season, we can do that. But who do you think has like the best chance of kind of pulling that coach arc, maybe not necessarily in their third time, but even in their second time?
Yeah, just to kind of speak of the first point you made there. Trust me, when I was on the island and they said, and there are two returning players, and here comes Coach, my immediate thought was like, this guy's a cartoon character. Like, this is not a real person. Like, oh my God, I'm playing with the Dragon Slayer. Like, this guy's a buffoon. He's in another planet. I met Coach. I know Coach. Coach is actually a pretty cool dude. He played it cool. He was really like somebody, like he was like somebody easy to talk to. Somebody who actually I related to incredibly in my season, which if I had to bet before my season, would you ever play with Coach and relate to him? I'd be like, you're insane. But it actually happened. So yes, he made good decisions to improve his arc. Who do I think could do that? Yeah, if you guys don't mind, give me kind of rundown, just to refresh my memory on what we're looking at here. I could probably give you guys a better idea.
Sure. Alexa, do you have it open?
Yeah, so we also have like the potential two tribes too.
Right.
So first Let's group is, so we're looking at, just for girls, we have Amber, Kim, Sandra, Sarah, Sophie, Danny, Denise, Michelle, Natalie, Anderson, and Parvati. And then for men, we have Adam, Ben, Ethan, Jeremy, Boston Rob, Nick Wilson, Tony Tyson, Wendell, and Yule.
Okay, so two of my favorite all-time players are in that list that I don't know personally. Actually, I met one personally. Yule Kwan and Kim Spradling are, to me, two of the best one-time players. Kim, I think, has played the single best season of Survivor for any non-returnee. It's actually funny. I was kind of jealous watching Kim Spradling's season on One World. She was the season directly after mine. A couple of my close friends and I made like these really dorky, elaborate survivor strategy packets to like, these are like the rules of don't do and don't do. It's of do's and don'ts, obviously. That's a do and don't.
Yeah.
But the do's and don'ts of Survivor. And when I'd watch Kim Spradlin play, I'd literally be like, okay, that's exactly what we just discussed. Oh, that's exactly what we're not supposed to do. I was like, this girl's a legend. Like, this girl's
amazing.
So I'm really excited about Kim because she's unassuming. And I think she's somebody who doesn't get a lot of credit, but I think is an absolute beast. I know Yul played in an older time, but I think Yul's, what I like about Yul is a very calm, very rational person. Not really, you know, to be honest, Survivor's an interesting game because it's a super elaborate and fun and multi-layered game, but it's played by a really interesting group of people. Mm-hmm. Most of the people who play Survivor are reality TV types that are casted, right? Let's just say that.
Right.
They're a little bit more, not the most normal people, let's just say that. Yul Kwan, I think, is a really smart, bright, rational person who is very different than the average reality TV contestant, put it that way. So I'd really like to see what those two are going to do. I think some players that are big names might have trouble, like Parvati. Like, I think she's so polarizing and has had such a reputation for, you know, some, you know, manipulation in the game that I think it could hurt her at the beginning. I think I think she might have some issues, but I'm really excited about this group. Let's continue.
Yeah. So what you were saying with Yul, I think, is so interesting because Yul played on Cook Islands, which is a polarizing season. I think it's one of the most polarizing seasons.
I love that season. I love the season. My favorite old school quote unquote season.
Cool. There you go. And I think a lot of people either love it or you hate it. It's one or the other. But when you look at Yul Kwan, there is no doubt that he is the fifth most famous person from that season because you have Ozzy, you have Parvati, you have Penner, and you have Candace. Oh, no, Amanda was on China. Yeah. Sorry, so it was Candace. It was Candace. But so you have those four who've all played multiple times. Parvati's considered the best player ever, but Yul beat her the first time. Penner, such a huge, loud personality, played three times, but Yul beat him the first time. Candace, we all know what she did in Blood versus Water with the whole you Brad Culpepper and all that fun stuff. And then in Fan versus Favorites, Yul beat her the first time. So here we are with a winner of a season with so many iconic players, and people kind of forget that Yul was as good as he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Phil, it's funny. I kind of compared that to Sophie's experience, right? So Sophie won our season Survivor South Pacific, but probably the fifth most famous player, right? You had Brandon Hance, you had Coach, you had Ozzy, you had Cochran. I mean, you have, like, you know, people ask me, oh, yeah, Albert, your season. I'm like, I know that I wasn't that big of a character, but it wasn't because anything I did. It's just I played with some really big time characters. Like, I think Yul has that same experience. He had the idol that could be played, if I'm not mistaken, after the votes, right?
Yeah,
right.
A little too powerful, or you can't really do that now. So I think he's an underrated guy, and I think if you had a gun to my head, I had to bet on somebody to make a deep run this season, I'd bet on Yul.
Yeah,
he seems like a straightforward guy, smart guy. Not gonna do any. He's not gonna blow up emotionally, right? He's not gonna overplay. I really think Yul's gonna. I love to see Yul kill it.
Yeah, I think Yul could definitely kill it. And talking about your season, where you were saying like fifth most famous is Sophie, I think like what's interesting about your season is Cochran's really the only new player who really jumped into the spotlight because you had Coach and Ozzy who are such big characters, and I feel like we miss out a lot on a lot of really good characters from your season who have never played again because they're so overshadowed by Cochran, Coach, Ozzy. Yeah. And even Brandon Hance, but mainly because of Brandon's blow up in 26, it really overshadows, you know, the Jim Rices of the world and even Edna, who was a very interesting character on that season. Yeah, it makes it's interesting. But yeah, Yul Kwan, he's going to be looked at as less of a threat than Parvati, but he beat Parvati on the first season. They both played.
He's a way bigger threat than Parvati in this season.
Parvati's in some trouble.
I bet a lot on Yul to go farther than Parvati.
There you go.
Yeah,
don't tell me. Don't get me wrong. Parvati's a beast, but just play based on dynamics. Yeah.
Yeah. She. Boston. Rob. Like they're in trouble. That's a tough starting point for them.
That's a tough starting point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, who do you see Sophie? Maybe. Okay. So we'll ask both of these questions. But who do you see her aligning with? Like the easiest. Who do you think that she's just going to go out there and like this is going to be her person? Who's the type?
Quick, can we take one quick second here? Can we do
a quick
pause? Yeah. I just want to make sure I have one. I'm gonna pull up those names real quick.
I'll pull it for you. Here, I'll send it to you in the chat here. We have a private chat on the side if you click the button.
Perfect, actually.
And then we just sent it right over to you. So if you click that link, it'll pull up. But you know, we always want to see who do you think they would align with and who is somebody they would never work with. And it doesn't just have to be from their starting tribe because we're assuming there's gonna be swaps like crazy.
Yeah, I don't think this is
was it not working?
Yeah, if you can send that to me on the I have the phone here too, so I can look at the phone.
All right, hang on. I'll do that.
Get out of here.
Let me send it to you on
dinosaur technology, guys.
Well, hey, what's annoying for me, Alexa, do you have your DMs or your messages set up, or can you email it to him? Because I know you just emailed. Because my messages, for some reason, on my phone and my laptop, only some of them go through. So, Albert, any message that we've sent to each other does not show up on my laptop, it shows up on my phone. It's very frustrating.
It's a little weird. Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense to me. But so she's starting on a tribe. I'll just start talking about the tribe, Alexa, while you send that over to him. She's starting with Sarah, Sandra, Kim, and Amber as the other women. And then she's starting with Nick Wilson, Tony, Tyson, Wendell, and
Sarah, Ewell. Sandra, Kim. Okay.
Yeah.
That's like your dream tribe. It's got Kim and Ewell on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, I love this tribe.
That's a good one.
I mean, I wish they stayed together longer, but you're going to swap in like 84 seconds. So,
I'm assuming at final 18, we're getting a swap. That just feels like what we're going to get. Two tribals swap.
I think day 8 swaps have been pretty common recently, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right day. Yeah, I still haven't.
For sure. Alexa, did you email?
My email's being really slow. It's coming. Give me 1 second. You guys keep going.
I can go the old-fashioned Google route, guys.
Yeah, it's insidesurvivor.com/season40tribes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're no problem at all.
So you mentioned that like there was kind of the Sarah, not so much connection, but you saw kind of Sarah's game in her. So I think the fact that they could be on the same tribe could definitely benefit them.
Very interesting. Yes. Sarah's somebody who I thought, you know, game changers, people were a little, you know, I think it's fair to say disappointed in a way, but I thought she really stood out. And I thought she was somebody that surprised me personally. When I saw Sarah play her first season, Kagayan, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. I thought she was just kind of like a side story to Tony as like, oh, we're the cops type deal. But then when I saw her in Game Changers, I thought I saw a completely different player. I saw a more mature player. It's really interesting what happens to you when you play a season of Survivor. It's really interesting what happens when you play a season of Survivor. There's so much experience and knowledge. I can't really liken it to anything else. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything else that you can go through for one time through any game, any class, any skill that you can do once and have learned so much and evolved so much. I feel like I thought I was really prepared to play Survivor, and I played 39 days of it. And on that 40th day, I felt like I had played like 400 days. I was like, oh my gosh, I know so much more now. So I think if you're somebody who is introspective and analytical, I think you can like take leaps and bounds in improvement of your own game. Just by playing one season, really, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, so I'm taking a look at this now. Who do I think Sophie could really align with on this tribe? I think Natalie and her. I could see her and Natalie actually getting along. Their personalities, from what I've seen, seem pretty similar. Michelle Fitzgerald, I'm not sure how she fits with them. Oh, Denise is definitely someone that I think Sophie will connect with. I like Denise a lot. I think Denise is a really good player. I think
she's Denise is great.
Very underrated. I loved her. Her relationship with Malcolm on her original season was amazing. I think Denise is great. I see Denise is another person I would rank pretty highly to go far. I think she's unassuming. I think she's smart. I hope she doesn't get the older person bias. Like, oh, she's whatever, relatively weak or whatever the, you know, the thing is. I hope that doesn't affect her. I don't think so. I think these players are going to be pretty advanced. And I don't think that advanced players really grade on that scale. They grade on who's a threat type skill. So I could see Denise and Sophie and Natalie creating a little core there. I could actually see that pretty easily.
Well, and this is the oldest cast we've ever had, because there's only four people in their 20s on this season: Michelle, Nick, Sophie, and Adam. Those are the only four people who are still in their 20s at the time of filming, which is unheard of by Survivor standards. Maybe back in like season one or two or something like that, there was only that many. But nowadays, that's unheard of. So I don't think Denise will run into problems, because despite the fact that Denise was the older lady on her season, she's not the older lady on this season, because she's aged. And what's the crazy stat, Alexa, with Parvati? She's the same age as like Lauren Rimmer.
Yep, she and Lauren Rimmer are the same age.
So like Lauren Rimmer, who's not on this season, but you know, back on Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, her and Parvati are the same age, and in no way were they cast as the same type of person.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing.
Parvati is like the 26-year-old Parvati from her first season. Yeah.
Always. So I don't think Denise will have as much of a problem, because if she's playing with Danny Boatwright, she's still older than Danny Boatwright, but they're not that much different in age. You know,
I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a more mature game. Which I usually, those type of things to me, and I think to the audience, aren't really the most interesting. Like, oh, let's vote off the weakest, let's vote off the oldest, let's do that. Like, that kind of old school formulaic game isn't as interesting. I think this is going to be a more dynamic game with like a lot of layers. I'm expecting this season to be what Second Chance was, which I thought was a fantastic season,
right?
Because the decisions were so nuanced and advanced. And I think that with this particular group, there's so much room for really interesting and creative play.
Well, I think because there's no one in this group who's horrendous at challenges. There's nobody in this group who has a crazy personality, because to win, that's like you have to be able to gel with people and you have to be comparable in challenges. So I think those factors just won't be at the forefront. So I think just the strategy is going to really come out.
Yeah, that's what's beautiful for me. Like, I've always said, not to interrupt you, Alexa, but I've always kind of said that the beauty of Survivor is everyone watches the game and enjoys the show for a different reason, right? Some people love the challenge play or the survival play or the social game. For me specifically, you know, some people like the crazy characters, right? For me specifically, I think your point reigns very true, because I enjoy the game for the smart strategic players. That's what makes the game interesting for me. And I think we have a cast full of that. I think you're missing some of those outlandish characters, right? You don't have an Abby here that's like just doing crazy stuff and creating drama and problems, because that's not how you win Survivor. That's how you do crazy stuff to make it interesting. That's not how you win the game. So you have a lot of people that know how to win a game of Survivor. So actually, you guys are, I'm getting pretty pumped up just talking about this right now.
Yeah,
right. It feels good. And you do. I mean, and I say this with the most respect in the world, like, Tony's crazy. Tony is a crazy, but he also has such a human side, because you don't win Survivor without having the human side as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what's so compelling about all of these people is you have Sandra, who will tell you to, you know, go F yourself, no problem. But she does it in a way that you still like her and you can't help it. And you have Tony, who, you know, he's speaking llama to a woman who then turns around and she doesn't vote for him to win, but still, like, he gets 8 votes and wins 8-1 in that final tribal. So I think that when I'm looking at this grouping, we might not have the Abbeys or the Brandons or you know, players like that, or like the Russell Hants on here, but we have enough players with big enough personalities that I mean, even Nick Wilson, he's got a very, like, he's got a real, like, dark streak to him where, like, he is willing to go and, like, put you out there and be like, we got to get rid of that guy. And he's a very strategic player, I think, who has a much bigger personality than we might have seen in his season.
Nick Wilson, but not to direct you, Phil, but Nick Wilson was actually my middle of the season winner pick for that season. I was a big Nick Wilson guy. I loved Nick Wilson. I thought he was, you guys, I don't know if you guys are like this, but he kind of reminded me of, like, a cleaner, like, friendlier, like, easier to digest Ryan Heideck in a way. Like,
yeah.
He's like a little bit of that throwback used car salesman, but he's got that Southern charm that makes you like, be like, honestly, I always said this, like, I wish I had a Southern accent, because I think that's such a big advantage on Survivor.
Oh my God.
Be like, you sound like Nick Wilson or JT. Like, people are just like, this guy sounds trustworthy. But if you sound like a little different, people are like, this guy, bad people.
And they always, I mean, Elaine in 39, everyone's underestimating her because she has an accent.
Yeah, she's like, oh, ho-hum, how you doing, y'all? And, like, everyone's like, oh, perfect. That person will never screw me. That's why, like, if you're Nick Wilson, like, you have a really nice in with that. So
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think that if you're on the season, he's really the only Southern person that is in this cast. Yeah. But you cannot underestimate him, because he can't play the, oh, I'm just, you know, from Kentucky and I just do my thing. Not that he really played. I think Donathan played it up a little bit more than Nick did, where Donathan really leaned into the, I'm just that.
I think Nick's a smart guy and uses it. I think Donovan's actually that person in a way. If that makes sense, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Nick, I mean, yeah, Nick, I could see the Nick and Brian Heide comparisons, and that's not an insult, because I think the Iceman is an unbelievable Survivor player. You could say what you want about him as a human, but he's a great Survivor player. And I think Nick does have that. And I think, you know, I mean, small town Kentucky lawyer. I'm not saying that that's a used car salesman, but like your, think about like how many people like Nick there probably are in that town. I can't imagine there's many. So it's a completely different personality. Who do you think that there's no way Sophie ever aligns with on this season?
No way Sophie aligns with. Wow. No way is tough, because I think everyone here is good enough to at least feign getting along with her. What's interesting is I don't know if her and somebody like Tyson would really get together. I think they're kind of opposite people. I think Sophie takes herself pretty seriously, and I think Tyson doesn't, which is something I think that might not mesh well. Outside of that, I don't know if there's anybody else. Like, even like a Sandra, who's come from a very different background, I'll tell you guys a quick one on Sandra. So I met Sandra at a charity event, and there's a lot of survivors there, a big group of people. I was relatively new to the scene. So I was kind of associated with people I knew. Sandra went out of her way as one of the few old school people at the time. This is about 6-7 years ago, to introduce herself personally. Hey, I know who you are. How you doing? What that told me about Sandra was either A, she's like super friendly and personable and just reaching out to everyone, or B, she's just such a great player. She's always on. Mm-hmm. She's just like, maybe one day I'll play with this guy, so let me be friendly to him in this 2-second moment. So Sandra's just, I think she's like, even though her and Sophie are very different people, I think even Sandra would make it work. It's really weird, but yeah.
Because she's like the most competitive person in the world, Sandra is. And she doesn't come across that way because she always plays up, as long as it ain't me, whatever, doesn't matter. But she's so competitive. And I think that she's constantly playing because at that time she'd won the second time. And she's probably saying, all right, I'm going to go up to this guy because if I play a third time, I'm winning a third time and I'm going to use this guy. Because she's probably sitting there going, well, your Twitter handle at zero votes. It's like she wants to be like, I want to sit with this guy. I'm going to use him. She's crazy. Yeah.
You have a great handle, by the way. Fantastic Twitter handle.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
I love
it. It goes a long way, you know?
It works. That's how we knew. It was like, who can we reach out to from season 23? And Alexis, like, Albert's Twitter handle is at zero votes. This is a guy who would come on and talk about this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Love this. I love this. My friends would make fun of me relentlessly about how few votes I got. So why not have fun with it, you know?
Gotta
absolutely. Hey, you made it to the final three. Who cares? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's like, not everybody can win. I mean, Troyzan, we did one of these with Troyzan, and we've had Troyzan on our podcast before, and he'd always like, look, I'd do it again. Like, what am I going to do? It's just, it's the way it worked out on that season. It doesn't mean it's going to work out that way on every season. It's just, that's how it worked out on that one. You know, but hey, at least you're a winner. So now, are you rooting for Sophie on this season? So you can be like, well, I lost to the best, or how are you feeling about that?
Yeah. Listen, I got to be honest with you guys. So, you know, as you guys always do these rankings of the seasons, the comparisons, I feel like South Pacific doesn't get a lot of love. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Right? Like, I feel like we had a pretty good season. I think our demise was how straightforward the post-merge happened. It was kind of a, you know, proverbial pagonging in a way where we just kind of eliminated the Savai tribe one by one systematically. I was one of the only guys that was trying to switch things up in the game. So I was trying to create some fun, but yes. The question is, do I want Sophie to do well? Yes. I think she's an underrated winner. I think her doing well represents our season in a way, right? Like if she wins, it's like, yo, South Pacific, man, let's give that season some love. And, you know, I think that she has some attributes that can make her navigate her way through this game. Survivor nowadays, I got to tell you guys, it's pretty tough. Like, I don't mean tough, like physically. I mean, like the game has become more difficult because there's so many more layers. So for a player like Sophie and her strategy, not sure how it'll work, but you know, I can tell you right now with wholehearted confidence, 5-6 years ago, I could teach you guys. And if you listen, I could show you how to win Survivor, like almost guaranteed. Today, there's so many twists. It's like you got swapped into this tribe. Now this person has this advantage that counters this. And it's like, there's people that like sometimes just the luck of the draw like eliminates their chances of winning the game. I think a player like Sophie who plays what I would call a low variance game, meaning not a lot of crazy high risk moves that'll get her in trouble, I think actually might bode well in a game with Survivor now that has so much variance and so much extra crazy stuff going on.
Because you're not going to be looking at somebody like Sophie necessarily to get rid of when you have one of those crazy, ridiculous twists. Like, I mean, you look at poor Dan from season 37, who he plays an idol and then there's an idol nullifier. And it's like, what is that? What is that? Like, who are you?
Like, literally, Dan could have been playing a perfect game. He could have been playing Kim Spradling season 24 Survivor. And they're like, all right, Dan, have a good day. You're out. And
yeah.
Like, you know? What just happened? It's like. Like he literally could, there's nothing. Not to say Dan was playing perfect. He was playing far from perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But in that tribal council, he played that idol perfectly.
Correct.
He played that
idol again for himself when he was the target of the vote. Like that's literally the definition of playing an idol perfectly.
Yeah.
Yep. And he went home. And he bye Dan. It's just crazy now because
three goes home without a vote.
It's nuts.
Yeah, and so I think that there's going to be a lot of straight bullets on this season as well. I mean, there's going to have to be, though, to get rid of some of these players. So, you know, I'm one of those who, like, I do love the old school game. I mean, honestly, for as low as I rank South Pacific, I'd go back, I'd sit down, I'd watch South Pacific, and I would definitely enjoy it. And I'd probably enjoy it more than some of the new school seasons because, for me, even like slower, less strategic old school Survivor has moments that new school Survivor doesn't have. And so I like that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so like when I'm looking at like all of these winners, throw the kitchen sink at them, because at this point, like, you should have to overcome every single twist in Survivor history in order to win and just come out somehow on top of that mountain. I don't feel bad for any of these winners if they get screwed over by a twist, because it's like, you won. You knew it was coming. Yeah. Maybe the best player probably doesn't win this season, but that's okay with me, because the best player doesn't win most seasons. So I'm fine with that.
But Phil, that hurts my heart. So like, I truly believe that Survivor is the greatest or one of the greatest games in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in line with that thinking, it can't be the greatest game in the world if the best player doesn't win at least a high percentage of the time, because that means in theory the game's inherently flawed if the best player's not winning a high percentage of the time, in my opinion. So I as much as I'd like them to throw them difficulty, I'll tell you this: make the conditions tough, make the decisions critical. I like the new concept. One of the twists I do like is when there's a risk reward. So in this current season we're watching now, Islands of the Idols, you know, whatever it is, you know, the view people or what we just finished watching, people don't like certain things. I do like when you have to risk something to gain something, because now it's a decision point that's weighing in your future of your game. I don't like when it's a random twist where it's like this person got drawn here randomly with no, you know, design or no like intelligent thought behind it. I want to see them playing a high level game. I thought there's been a couple seasons that have played really, really high level. I'd rank Second Chance up there. I rank Millennials and Gen X really high up there. I rank probably, if you go back to like the Heroes and Villains time, there's some really good play, but I want to see them playing at a level Survivor that like changes it. Like, I remember when Voting Blocks first came around, I was like, oh, this is super cool and interesting. Like, I want to see us take the next step forward for however many seasons are left. We don't know how much longer we're going to have Survivor, this game that we all love. I want to see it like end better than it started, if possible.
Yeah. And I don't know if it ever will, not to break your heart, but being an old school fan, I don't think it will ever get back to what it was. You know, there's nothing better than Richard Hatch sitting in the tree and telling everybody why he was going to win. I mean, there's just nothing better than that. But on this season, that 39, which, you know, just finished, we sit there and the split at the merge, when they did the 5-6 immunity challenge and two people won immunity and there were two. Did I cut out? Okay, I'm gonna start over then.
One quick question. Is video gonna be included in this feed or no?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. I just want to make sure just start that over with you said you were talking about the 5-5 split and then you froze up for a second. Go.
Okay, so I'm back now.
Yeah,
you're good.
Okay. So at final 11, they did the 5-6 split. Two people won immunity, two tribal councils. Some people went to tribal with five people. Some people went to tribal with six. Those are the splits I hate because it's completely random. That I don't like. If I don't mind the advantages really being thrown into the game, because I think if you're going to win an all winner season, you need to be able to navigate every single advantage. Like, I'm sorry, but that's the way Survivor's gotten. So if you can't navigate the idol nullifier, you should have planned for that. You should have had a second idol. Like, at this point, there are going to be second idols. I don't like the random, like, Tommy's going to tribal council with the original four women from Lyro, and there's nothing Tommy could have done about that. Right. I don't like that. And he didn't go home, so that shows how good he's playing, but I don't like that was even a possibility for him, because that's just too random to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also agree that, like you said, they have to navigate advantages, but they also have to navigate some advantages that are disadvantages. You know, Stephen Fishbach discussed how sometimes an advantage is really a hindrance. So I do like that point of it, where you have to know, oh, it's not just an advantage I can use, like, you know, willy-nilly with no consequences. I have to like pick my time to use it or not use it. I like the decision points. I'm curious to see how they're going to work, especially with some of these old school players. You have some players here that haven't played new school Survivor. Amber played a very different game of Survivor than we see today. So it's going to be interesting to see how her game translates. Or, you know, Danny Boatwright played an older game than what we're seeing now. So I'm curious to see what that old school, because some of the old schoolers now kind of dog the new game. Like, this isn't Survivor. Arch conditions were harder. You know, when I talk to older players, they're like, you guys had it easy. And I'm like, well, it's different. So I'm curious to see how it translates. It's like you're watching baseball and you're watching guys from the 1980s play against the guys from today. And it's like, well, let's see how they translate.
So Amber and Ethan have never even played with an idol before.
Right.
Exactly. So there's a lot that there haven't been islands there. There's a lot that they're catching up on.
Ethan didn't even have a family visit, by the way.
Yeah.
No. fact, yeah.
And I will say, I think Ethan played the toughest season physically of Survivor, because that was brutal. They didn't even have like water. They had to get the jug, the 100-gallon jug. But so Ethan and Amber, I'm really curious to see what they're going to do. But then again, Amber's still been so involved in it because of Rob. And then you also have Ethan, who I think is just one of those competitive guys, professional athlete, very into just competing, that I think, I mean, Johnny Fairplay tells us that Ethan kicked poor Rudy and tried to injure him purposely. I don't believe that, but that's what Johnny Fairplay will tell you. He's too nice of a guy, but I also think that he does have that killer instinct that is necessary for the new school game, where you can't play like you did in, even in season 23, your group, I forget what was the name of the Apollo?
With the Apollo tribe.
Yeah. So the Apollo tribe comes out, makes an alliance of six, and goes to the final six. You can't really do that anymore, because there's so many swaps. And so Ethan did that on his season with Boron. He ends up going out there. They go into the merge 6-4. They vote out one of their own, and then they have the numbers the rest of the game anyway. You can't really do that anymore, but I think that Ethan has the competitive edge. You know, there's that killer instinct that's necessary to be able to flip back and forth, back and forth. I think Yule has it as well.
We might. Hey, with all these old school players or mid to new school players, we might see like a throwback game of Survivor. It would be really refreshing, right?
It'd be wonderful.
It'd be really refreshing to see the game played more straightforwardly, less kind of irrational, you know, jumping from one side to the other. I'm really curious to see how it'll work. Yeah, I think guys like that, that's what I'm really curious about, is to see how those three archetypes are going to do, right? There's like the nice guy, which is like Ethan and like Jeremy Collins. Then there's like the quiet, smart ones like Sophie, Denise in a way. And then there's like the big characters like Tyson and Tony and those guys. Like those three, the mixture of those three and how it'll like make a Survivor stew in a way. I'm really like looking forward to seeing how that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alexa, ask the two questions. These are the best part.
So I have a feeling... I know who you're going to pick. So the first question we ask is, how do you think Sophie's going to do? You can give like an actual placement. You could say makes the merge, final three, loses fire,
right?
Anything.
How do I think she's going to do, or how I want her to do?
How do you think? But I'm going to write down how you think.
Survivor's tough, man. Survivor's tough.
It's so tough.
And she just got married and she already won $1 million.
Yeah.
I don't know what her motivation is
going
to be.
Things are going well for her.
I'm going to say I think she's the second. I'm going to say she's out two votes before the merge. So that would be like fifth person out.
Okay. So let's say like 15th, 16th, something like that, yeah. Alexa.
Okay.
Because we did see a merge at 13, but jury started at 14, and who knows? So 15, 16, something like that. Right.
Okay. So then with that, if you can't,
I'd like her to see her make the end. So I want to see her give another.
Yeah,
there you go.
I want to see her get final three in a spot where she's an underdog and have to give a speech as like the presumptive underdog, and see what she does. I got news for you guys. It's hard to give a speech in a final three when you're an underdog.
Are you speaking from experience, Albert?
No, just
personal experience.
just
a guess. So if you can't pick Sophie to win, who is your winner pick out of this group?
I'm gonna take Yule Spradling or
Kim. Yeah.
No, it's a toss-up between Yule and Kim. I think they're two of the, I think Kim single season, like I said, is the best player I've ever played or ever seen play. I'm actually gonna take Kim.
Okay.
Kim's been a pretty popular pick.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are feeling that, but it's fun because you're talking about those big personalities who, you know, the quiet personalities, the nice people. I think Kim fits in the middle of all of that. I think she knows how to handle it. I mean, she had a guy named Tarzan and a guy named Troyzan on her season. Yeah. She had Alicia on her season, who was a very big personality. Then she also had Colton Combat. I mean, yeah. Absolutely. And then she had people like Jay who were just too nice for Survivor. There was no reason for that. But I think Kim's a really good pick. I actually had Sophie in the exact same spot as you, Albert, preseason. I did my rankings before they even walked out onto the island, and I put Sophie in spot 15 because
you're pretty good at this.
We're just in sync here. Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's just I don't feel like she has the connections that Almost every single winner from the 30s is on this season. From 31 to 37, every winner is on. So I think Michelle Fitzgerald has a better chance than Sophie to be the under the radar player because she's so connected with Wendell, Adam, Nick Wilson. Like, these are all people around her age, live in the same area, played on similar seasons. Whereas Sophie, the winners around her are Kim Spradlin, who I don't know how much Kim and Sophie really like are into whatever. Denise, who is much older than Sophie, and then Boston Rob won the season before her. So I don't really see this being like, oh, these are people that Sophie's just going to work with. And I think she'd be kind of coming into this game as a little bit of a lone wolf, which isn't going to work when you, I mean, we hate to say it, but there's going to be preseason alliances and everything on this season. Sure. Yeah, I don't think Sophie's going to be a part of many of
them. Even if they're not preseason alliances, they're preseason interactions that people have had with one another, right? And those impressions kind of leave, you know, a taste in your mouth, whether you know them or not. So Sophie said something in our season, which I thought was very telling. She gave a description to Don at one of the tribal councils, how me and somebody else, or me and Don actually, were, she described as golden retrievers, because which is true, we're people person. Like, I'm the kind of guy who, like, in an Uber, I'll like talk to the guy and be like, oh man, how's your day going? Like,
yeah,
Sophie's not that person, right? And that's not a negative on her, but it can be a negative in the game of Survivor when you're playing a social game with big egos. And like, again, circling back, the big egos want to be kind of bowed down to, not bowed down to, but like recognized in a way. And if you don't show someone warmth, they might look at, you know, a lot of these people on this list might be like, oh, don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
Like, I think that can be a little bit, it can give you an icy reception in a way. So.
Yeah, and I could see that happening. Although she does have an advantage, I think, over some players because she did play on a season with Coach the entire game. And I think that gives you a bit of an advantage because you're used to dealing with a big ego that's played before and wants you to be like, do you know who I am? So okay. I think that could help.
That's a great point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she'd go either way.
It's just subtle how she does it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Alexa, do we have any other questions? I could seriously, Albert, I'm not joking. I could sit here and I could talk to you for like five hours about Survivor and strategy.
That's a good, like, just a good way of talking about like how strategy was in past Survivor and how it is now.
Where,
I appreciate that. I'm having fun. This is cool.
Yeah. Where have you been on like podcasts and stuff? Because I haven't really seen you around. Where have you been?
Big on the podcast game. The only one I've really done was Dom and Colin, who are
had
roots in poker. So I knew them from there's a big poker forum called 2+2, which is like poker Reddit in a way. And I kind of came across their podcast and went on their stuff. They're kind of similar to you guys, like, you know, younger people who are really excited about Survivor, really smart, know the game, and haven't really done that much. You know, when Michaela connected me with you guys, if I'm not mistaken. And she told me good things, and you know, I kind of had no idea what I was expecting, but I've been pleasantly surprised.
Here we are.
You guys seem like a lot of fun.
So. I'm gonna say the same thing. I didn't know what to expect with Albert because at zero votes, but then I'm like, you know what? Like, we got to find a way to get you on future episodes because we do predictions and power rankings every week where we invite a previous Survivor on, and I could just we got to do one early season with you because I feel like you could break down where everybody's position is when we're at final 19, and I love that.
Yeah,
so, okay, I'm in.
There you go. So get ready, everybody. This is the first time you're hearing from Albert, everybody, but get ready for a season 40 episode with Albert. It's coming, for sure. Oh, do you have anything else that you want to add to this, Albert? Because we pretty much asked everything that we do.
Do I have anything else I want to add? No, I think that's it. Because we're airing out. Yeah, I think that's it, guys. I had a really good time. I appreciate the time. I have one more thing I'm going to say.
Let's hear it.
So I will tell you this, guys. I have a good friend that was on this past season 39, Ronnie Barta. He was the first guy out. Really good guy. A guy I'd like to see, and I'm going to pitch an idea to you guys. I don't know what do you guys think about this. What do you guys think about all first boot season?
We would be so down.
I love those. One of my favorite Survivors is Timbertina from Survivor Panama, who was the first boot, and I want to see her back on.
She's one of your favorite Survivors?
I don't know why I had such an obsession with her. That was one of the first seasons that I watched live, and I just think she's great. So I'm all for a first boot season.
Listen, a first boot would be great, and Ronnie's a really good – I'm telling you, there's a lot more there. I know we didn't get to see a lot from him. Really bright guy, really, like, fun, social, like, warm guy.
Yeah,
I think Ronnie deserves a chance to play, and I think a first boot season would be really interesting.
I also think that with the way Survivor's been changing, we are seeing more and more good players be voted out first, second, third. I mean, think about Chelsea Walker goes out fourth on this season, and like Chelsea Walker is awesome. She knows the game like the back of her hand.
But fan, yeah, super fan, real fan of the game, man.
There's nothing you can do. And I think like if you look at past seasons, Pat Cusack on 37, he was somebody who could easily come back and play. Season 36 why can I not think of Ghost Island, Alexa? Help me.
Stephanie Gonzalez.
Yes, amazing. Like,
I think Pat getting medevaced is probably the best thing that could have happened for a potential first boot season, because he was the reason that David versus Goliath was a theme. And then for him to go out that way, I think that they would want to bring him back for that.
He was so big. Yeah. Like I feel like a lot of the promo stuff was about him and his story. Mm-hmm. And like at the finale, we got to hear from him. And I think that there's more left there. And I think the beauty of Survivor is everybody who plays the game leaves with this sense of like, what if, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're the first. So Ronnie's a good friend of mine. He was the first person out. I played 39 days and lost. So it's like throughout that whole spectrum, I feel like there's a hunger and a thirst and a what if. Like, I think that's why Second Chances was so good. All those players mm-hmm. are like, F this. Like, I missed my shot. This is my chance. Like, I'm playing balls to the walls. So I think that those first boot people who didn't even get to play are going to come in with such a, like, zest in a way.
Yeah.
And, I think it'd be really fun.
Yeah, I think even if you're not going to do just the first boot, I think doing a – like, Reem Daly was the first boot of Edge of Extinction, you know, right. So like, there's another one.
Put her back on.
So even if it's not just a first boot, but just this whole idea of a pre-merge season, I think there's so many great characters – you miss out on just because things didn't go their way.
Mari from Millennials and Gen X.
She was a good one.
Excellent character. I mean, there's so many. I did a pre-merge ranking after season 36 because all the Ghost Islanders were like, how good are we? We're the best pre-merge ever. So I did a ranking and disproved them and put them at number 3. But I mean, the only seasons I had before them were Heroes, Villains, which you've already seen a lot of those players, and Palau. Because Palau, that whole tribe that does not win Oolong, there is so much gold on that tribe with James and with Jeff and with Kim and with Angie. It's amazing. So there's so many people that could come back on and they've proven that they'll do it because they've had Francesca play again and they've had other pre-mergers like, you know, Jeff Varner played a second time. Kimmy.
First boot, by the way, Francesca, obviously, right? The only two first boot.
Yeah. We need another one. We need somebody to add to her list.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, I love the idea of that. I would definitely be all for that. I'm all for like anything they want to do with Survivor, as long as it's a cool dynamic. I mean, even Game Changers, I was like, well, that's nonsense. Half these people aren't Game Changers, but it still created like an interesting dynamic of like, who is a Game Changer and who, like Sierra Dawn Anglim, is trying to prove that they are a Game Changer. So there you go. I had to fix myself.
Yeah, they're kind of the, like, I want to prove myself. And that's why 40 is going to be so interesting, because they don't have to prove themselves, but now they're going to even more. Mm-hmm. So the first boot season, I think they're just going to come out guns a-blazing, and that would be a tough one.
Oh, without question. Yeah, it's going to be – it would be awesome. So, plus, I love my boy Ronnie. I got to pump him up.
Yeah, it's going to back. The second I heard his voice, I'm from Massachusetts, I heard that accent, and I was like, this is fantastic. I feel like I was the only person who could understand his accent. It was great.
Yeah. All right, well Albert, I love that idea. I love this entire conversation.
Let's do it. This has been fantastic.
Thank you guys for having me. This has been a lot of fun. Seriously.
Yeah. All thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And we'll hopefully have you back on soon.
All right. Cool.
All right.
Thanks.